Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's blind. Boom, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 181. Man, you guys, Scott and Dante here on a Monday afternoon. We're recording this a little early today, so y'all will get this a little early today. Dante back at the crib, man. How's everything going out there in Chicago?
It's very solid, very solid. If you are watching this, you are looking at my lovely South Island basement. Shout out to my people. You know, it feels good to be back home. I ain't been home in a minute. But I can't complain, bro. About to go to this high school graduation. I don't know why they did it at 6 p.m. on a Monday, but
high school graduating early as hell. I feel like back in our day, we didn't graduate till like mid-June.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely like you got out during the summer, but they about to be done now. But
other but than that, don't they start like in playing. August?
Don't they start? They start early.
Okay, that makes sense now.
Compared to what we did.
Yeah, but what were you saying before I cut you off?
No, I said, but no. Other than that, bro, I really can't complain. I'll be back in the A tomorrow. You know, enjoying a world class franchise in the Atlanta Braves.
We had a real come to Jesus moment in the group chat this morning about how all three of us are collectively done with the White Sox. Really, I think really more mainly me and you. Like yeah. Mikey still loves them sacks and shit. Like it's still in him. He don't want to admit it, but he's still scoreboard watching. I don't think even me and you scoreboard watching. I'm like completely cut off.
I'm completely disconnected. Somebody told me Jake Berger hit another home run. That's exactly what we need. More of that. But I'm done with this team.
Yeah, I am too. I'll go into more full detail on I'm not going to hold you this week because I'm dedicating my entire sound off portion of the show to why I'm officially done and not sports fan. I'm done and I get back watching. No, I'm done with them niggas. Like, seriously. Like, so I'll get into more into that, man. But I had a good relaxing weekend. I didn't do shit, which is the first weekend I've had to myself in about a month. So I chilled, you know what I'm saying? Watched some, really was only one playoff game, and we're going to get into that shit as Harden and B put on a masterclass in choking, which we'll get into later in this episode. But I had a cool weekend. I'm looking forward to go seeing Fast 10 this weekend. Shout out to Culver Theaters and Culver City for opening it. It used to be Arclight, and I'm glad it's the same building. They just like renamed it, so it's the same spot I used to go to all the time. Now I ain't got to pay $20 on Uber to go to funky ass Hollywood to watch a fucking movie. So I really appreciate them for doing that. So I'm gonna go to a Saturday show this week to watch Fast 10. But we got a lot of stuff to get into. The conference finals kick off tomorrow. You know, to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chat Scott at October's on Tape. Follow the Barber's Chat Network at Barber's Chat Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chat Network. Y'all gonna get a lot of Cinema with the Guys episodes, man. Me and the homie Trey dropped the Cinema with the Guys last week about kind of like I gave an oral history of the Fast and Furious franchise. If you are a Patreon subscriber, you can listen to that. It's been up for about about five days. If you want a free feed and you want to hear it, it'll be on a free feed on Wednesday before the premiere. But also this week, me and Dante will drop. It'll be day late, but we'll be dropping the episode 8 recap of Succession. Another great episode. Me and my brother have 2 episodes with the guys dropping this week. We'll be breaking down Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and also the Michael Jordan movie Air, which is really about the Jordan shoe, not really about Michael Jordan. I finally saw that this weekend on Amazon, so we're going to talk about that. Visit thebcnet.com, man. But let's just get right into it. It's been a very eventful weekend in the association, man. But let's start off with some dumb nigga. And I'm going to get very clear on this topic today. It kind of, remember that episode of Boondocks where it had Sway on there? It's like, he got arrested again. Now, that's who we are with Ja Morant. The news came out Sunday morning that the Memphis Grizzlies have suspended him again, not even like a month and a half after he was already suspended for showing guns in a social media video. I thought it was fake. I thought somebody retweeted an old Woj tweet. That was my initial reaction. I didn't want to believe somebody was that fucking stupid. I will give you the floor before I go on a rant, because I have a lot to say about this.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be real brief with it. He's an idiot. Like it's time we give people too much leeway. We give way too much. Oh well, he's young, and like I get that. But one thing I say with athletes all the time is, there's a long history of athletes who have screwed up and messed their money up and got taken out the league, and you know had their careers damaged by that. So you've seen all of that, and you're still sitting here choosing to be an idiot. So like, as much as I hear people when they say, you know, we gotta want better for, I can't want more than you want. So at the end of the day, I'm not gonna sit here and just say, oh man, we gotta stall Ja out. He has to stop doing dumb stuff. Like at the end of the day, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm gonna go a little further with it because I saw a lot of, which I see a lot of bullshit on Twitter, period. But it's not just this situation; it's every goddamn day on Twitter. I think anybody who listens to any show or podcast I am on this network, or even follows me on Twitter, knows my disdain for social media is at an all time high right now. But it's just like at the end of the day, some niggas are just stupid. Is that there's just really no ifs, ands, buts about it. Shout out my man Al Patron. You know, that's my brother. He tweeted something like, you know, they might be idiots, but there are idiots. No, they're not my idiot. I'm not claiming them stupid niggas just because we the same race. No, some niggas are just dumb. Okay. And we get the, oh, well, you know, you don't know what you were doing at 23. Yeah, I do know I was doing at 23. I was stupid, but I wouldn't wave a gun in social media twice in a 6-week span. When I got millions and millions and millions of fucking dollars on the line, stupid. That's just dumb. And then I see some people, I saw Juan Toscano Anderson blaming his homies. And if you actually look at the video, his homie actually put the camera on the ground when he realized that this nigga had a gun. Like, he was like, what the fuck are you doing? So, at the end of the day, we've got to stop giving people passes. And even when it comes to, you know, the situation of, like, oh, black men, yes. But at the same time, we give black men too many passes. Like, why is it, you know, automatically, oh, he's a kid? No, he's a fucking adult. Okay, like, yes, is he on the younger side of an adult? Yes, but you're an adult, bro. Like, and people are like, he need to speak to OG. His daddy is at every goddamn game. His daddy is sitting courtside. So if he not gonna listen to his daddy, if his daddy's even telling him anything, why is he gonna listen to some random nigga? There's just no hope for at this point. I'm not saying that he can't get better. He can get better. He needs to get better because he's going to fuck his money up, but not just him, but his family. They already suspended him with like 10 games last time. He's going to get, in my opinion, at least a 20-game suspension. I don't think they're going any less than 20.
I was thinking 25 to 30, like at least easy. That's low ball.
That's like, if this was, you know, we don't know Adam Silver's a little light with his punishments, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be, to me, the hammer would be if they gave 41 games. They half of the season. If you can't learn from that, then shit, I don't know what to tell you. I think they're going to at least get 20 games. And I don't know what Ja's going through. Maybe he is going through something. I don't want to, you know, maybe, you know, take that potential off. But whatever it is, he needs to get his shit together. because this is just enough. And then, of course, you got the idiots like, well, there's a gun license. You can, it's legal to have a gun in Tennessee. Look at you fucking idiot. When you are one of the biggest superstars in a multi-billion dollar industry, there's different rules for, unlike niggas who are working at a regular 9-to-5, okay? If you're working at a regular 9-to-5, even then, if you work at something that you're going to get, if you bring a gun to work. See how that works for you.
The excuses really got to stop because, like, you know, I say this as a gun owner. Like, I'm not going to get on Instagram and start waving my pistol and putting it by my head. That serves no purpose. Like, I think a lot of us, we just come from an era where, like, you're not supposed to pull your gun out unless you're about to use it. Like, other than that, it serves no purpose of pulling
that
out.
That's the number one thing. Everybody who has a gun, whether it's your OG, your cousin, if you're going to bring the gun out, you better be prepared to use that motherfucker.
Yeah. You know, otherwise, there's no other reason to be sitting there flashing it. That serves no purpose.
Like, it's not even, like, these aren't even, like, even when it compared to AI. AI was getting themselves in dumb situations, but they were, like, altercations. This nigga just throwing the shit up on instrument. Like this is no mental awareness here. Like, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's just, it's stupid to me. And at this point, like, after a while, he got to help himself. You know what I'm saying? It's not my money. It's his money. It's the future of his family's money. And more importantly, you're fucking with the league's money. We were talking about, I think Pavi was on here about who's going to be the next American-born superstar. It's him. It's him, and you are fucking it up.
Yeah, and I think, to your point, I'm glad you said it before we move on. But to sit here and try to blame the friends is petty, because at this point, the man damn near dropped the phone to make sure nobody was seeing the gun. Like, he was trying to go out of his way to stop him from doing it. And then he didn't pick it back up until Ja put the gun down. If you peep, he didn't pick it back up. It was on his shoulder until Ja put the gun down.
The gun is very quick in the video.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Yeah, it's like the first 13 seconds.
What the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably what he said to him too. Like,
yeah. Like, we're on live, nigga. I'm not just shooting this on a story where I can delete it. Like, you know, that'd be a different thing if he was on his IG story and he just like delete. No, nigga, you don't. And he dead ass like, oh, hold on. If your friend and he and you know they're having a good time, he's like, nigga, what are you doing? Like, you be rapping the lyrics about the gun coming out. So at this point, man, I'm just like, whatever the situation, it's just he either gonna learn or he ain't. You know what I'm saying? But let's just stop making excuses for grown ass adults. And you know, and we can anybody look, I don't care what Wilbon said. Look, Wilbon is one of them old nigga, and I've never taken anything that Wilbon said with any respect since the shit he said about Sean Taylor when he got killed. So I don't give a fuck about what he's saying with shoes and shit. Ain't got nothing to do with me. He an old ass head. But I don't think that we're becoming old heads for pointing out this motherfucker's dumb. Okay. Some shit you just gotta call like it is, man. So that's all we gotta say on that. I don't want to, you know, lament too much on that situation, man. But unfortunately, I have to talk about this two other times this week because I do content. So I have to talk about this. So if we're going to talk about this on Summer Sessions, and I'm going to have to talk about this shit on I'm Not Gonna Hold You, unfortunately. So you'll hear me talk about this shit again. But let's move on to actual basketball. The Phoenix Suns got eliminated on Thursday. I think it was Thursday or Friday. I remember what day it was. Thursday or Friday in a blowout loss by 30 for the second year in a row to the Denver Nuggets. Amazing, not even amazing, but just really just a hilarious thing that happened 2 years in a row. And Monty Williams got fired this past weekend. And there was a lot of outrage from people who I don't understand the outrage. But he got let go, of course, his new ownership. They're about to begin their new search. And what's your thoughts on Monty getting fired?
It was about time. Time for a change. Time for something different. I mean, I think it's only oh so long. You can sit there and try to, you know, go with the same voice. And also think, combined with the fact that they are going to make some changes this offseason. Like, I think Chris Paul won't be back. We're going to have to get some more role players around Devin and KD in order to really make a championship run. And so with those type of changes on the docket, then, you know, it makes sense to just do a coaching change as well. Get a new voice in there. Obviously, you got to figure out what you're doing with DeAndre Ayton, because him and Monty didn't really rock with each other. But at the same time, you know, now that Monty's gone, are you going to keep him? Are you going to keep Ayton? Are you going to move away from Ayton? So, you know, with so much uncertainty with that squad, I think right now it's just a matter of time to see, you know, see who can lead that team. But I think it was about time.
Yeah, I want you. It was about time. I think I think even with the Aiden thing brought, I think Aiden staying. I think this was kind of a, you know, I think they chose between the two. I think Aiden staying, they just signed him to a contract. I don't really know what in a deal, how much you would get for Aiden. And it, as inconsistent as Aiden is, I still think there's talent there. And I still think that if the Suns are going to win the NBA championship, they need a DeAndre Aiden. They need to get the most they can get out of Aiden. And we all know there was an obvious beef between the two. We don't know what it was about. But I think that was a line in the sand right there. I think the fire had to do with the fact that, you know, I think they chose Aiden over him. I think, you know, I think the KD trade had a lot to do with it because, let's just be real, they're going to start rebuilding this. Not rebuilding, but retooling this around KD, Book, and then it seems like Aiden going forward. I don't expect Chris Paul to be back. They don't owe him any more guaranteed money. He looked like a shell of himself. And the offense looked better when he wasn't out there, at least just pace wise. Now, of course, you know, Chris, even with him not being the Chris Paul that we know him, he still was able to, you know, run the offense well, but defensively he's not the same. And that mid-range jumper that he always had, he was just not hitting anymore. So, and like you said, Monty, it was about time, man. It was about time. You know, I saw some online outrage. I'm not gonna say mostly, but I saw some, and it's like, you know, it's let's just keep it real. Like, y'all only saying this because he's black. And like, let's cut the shit because he's a nice guy. And he's in, Monty's a real good, nice guy. I had the pleasure of being in his interview a couple weeks ago when we were doing the Clippers series. Nice guy, nice dude. He's going to get another head coach gig. There's a couple of jobs available, and I think there's going to be more too. I think it's going to be a very, very active NBA offseason. And we've seen already, the season ain't even over. We haven't even started conference finals. Three coaches have been fired already. Two championship coaches. Coaches have been fired for less. You know, coaches who have accomplished more than Monty Williams have been fired. You know what I'm saying? With Coach Bud. And we all know Coach Bud's not the greatest coach, but he's still a championship winning coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Nick Nurse just got fired. Two guys who won the championship in the last 5 years have been fired. So if they got fired, what do you think happened to Monty? Monty lost a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals 2 years ago. Let's not forget that. You got home. You had the number one record in basketball last season. And you lose in a game 7 where you had a 3-2 series lead by 30 at home to a team you ain't had no goddamn business losing to in the Dallas Mavericks. Now, this year, a little different. The Nuggets were the favorite, whatever. But you can't lose by 30 again on your home court with new ownership who did not hire you. I mean, what you gonna do? It's a results-driven business, man. So I think, you know, and this is something I think me and you said on a podcast a couple weeks ago. Like, we need to start questioning some of the moves Monty making. Like, you were saying that weeks ago. So I don't really think it's a surprise. You guys are back and like Eric Spoelstra was fired. Let's table that down a little bit. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he's a good coach, and I think he will find another job. But him losing his job is not like an outrage, like some people try to make it seem.
Yeah, man. Let's move on to actual games, man. That was only really one game this weekend. Game 7 was last night in Boston. The Boston Celtics won by a sizable margin. I do not have the final score up on me right now, but they lost game 7. Won game 7 last night to advance the East Conference Finals. They won 112-88. Jason Tatum having the most points in game 7 in the NBA history. A record that Steph set like 2 weeks ago. And that just shows you just how crazy the scoring is in today's game, that record that took years to be made got broken in 2 fucking weeks. Yeah. I think the question here, and let's get into just the abomination of what the Sixers did last night. Joel Embiid and James Harden are the criminals here, man. What's your thought on just like, to me, there's a lot of problems with the Sixers. Like, we can get into the Doc Rivers thing, which is obvious at this point. He's lost 10 game 7s, which is a ridiculous stat. But even more than Doc Rivers, the blame has got to go to your superstars. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's your thought on what we saw from Harden and Embiid?
Yeah, no, I think once we saw Embiid copping pleas at the end of the game, we knew what it was. Like, that was gross for him to sit there and say, me and James can't do it by ourselves when you and James just played terrible in game 7. Like, he made that statement, and Tobias Harris had more points than he did. So it's like, at what point do you start to look in the mirror and look at what you've been doing and what your shortcomings are And I really didn't like that. I'm not gonna lie, that rubbed me the wrong way, especially these guys who run around, you know, invoking Kobe's name and, you know, Mamba mentality and all of that. And
Kobe gonna come back and haunt one of you niggas, man. I'm gonna keep saying this.
And then B, what made it worse is he sat there damn near laughing and was like, you know, it's steps to success, pretty much trying to mock what Giannis was saying. But Giannis is a champion. Giannis didn't cry for Giannis didn't cry for MVP award. He just went down and won it. Giannis is a defensive player of the year. Like, Giannis didn't fold in the biggest moment of his team's career, his team's season. You know, you did all that, complaining
by the MVP.
15 points by the MVP, by the MVP who thinks he's a shooting guard. But that team is trash. I've never believed in Philly in the first place, so I mean, I'm not surprised. But the statements at the end really, like, as good as he is, I don't even know if I want Embiid on my team, bro. Like, just because I'm not a fan of players who say shit like that. When you been crying about being the MVP of the league, and then you come up short and you throw the rest of your teammates under the bus like you did, even though you rightfully threw Ben Simmons under the bus, but to come back this year and say, well, we can't do it by ourselves, we need everybody to get better. When you play like trash, like absolute trash. Al Horford, 62 years old, and was locking your ass up. So I don't want to hear none of that from Embiid, from nobody in Philly. Like, that team is not serious.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you reaching to the car, bro. I think the thing about Embiid, and you know, and we make jokes on Twitter. He's not the MVP. The MVP is a regular season award, and I actually think the MVP award needs to be announced right after the regular season, so we can stop having these dumbass debates and things of that nature. Especially when it comes to actually voting, you know, things like that, where we start thinking about the playoffs when it's regular season award. So yeah, he deserves MVP for the regular season. But when you come into the situation right now, and this is kind of like a make or break year for them, and first MVP be like, well, Embiid's gonna leave. Embiid's part of the fucking problem. Like, you can't be MVP, like, you know, people get their jokes off on Jokic. What has he done? He lost the conference final. Yeah, at least he's been to one. He's in his second one now with a good goddamn chance to get to the NBA Finals. We'll break that series down later. But I think the thing that when it comes to this, that when people conveniently leave out the fact that Jokic ain't had his number two and number three best players healthy till this year. Like, people leave that shit out. But Embiid, he's just out there just taking up space. It should have never got to a game seven. It should have – game six, it had them niggas. Jason Tatum – putting up one of the funniest performances of all time, just stinking to join up. In fact, his dunk in game seven, first quarter, was his first quarter field goal since game three. So you had him, you didn't hit a bucket. You were up by double digits. You let them come back. You let him go crazy in the fourth quarter, and you did nothing. There was nothing Joel Embiid doing. You're the MVP. You're supposed to lock that shit down. You're like, we're home. I'm the best player in this series. I'm the MVP. We ain't been to a conference finals in 22 years. And by the way, Pavi, if you're listening, we ever had that old school, not old school, but old summer sessions argument about the Sixers are more iconic team than the Bulls. Now, I know I'm pulling strings here, but here's the thing. At least the Bulls have been to a conference finals quicker than the Sixers have. The Sixers have about to won a championship in 40 years now. They have not been to a conference final in 22. They have not won a championship in 40 years. Okay. So I just want to get that out, Pavi, if you're listening. But the thing here is, we know what James Harden's going to do. You know, James Harden is an all-time choker, an all-time con artist in the NBA history. He's been doing it since the NBA Finals 11 years ago against the Heat. He just did what he did. He's going to go off to Houston next year, get some bitches with Ime Udoka and not care. He just wants to play in a nice city and not have any type of responsibility. And like you said, the number one thing that blew me was you going up there, you laughing, making the same joke Giannis did. But like I said, Giannis is a two-time MVP. Giannis has won an NBA championship. You know what I'm saying? And do I think, we've said on the show, I've said on my show, that I thought Giannis's failure comments were corny. But Giannis also is kind of a gripe because he didn't play the first three games. You know what I'm saying? So he has that to hold on regardless. Like, you're not in any position making jokes and then say shit like, oh, well, me and James can't win ourselves. Nigga, I've never seen P.J. Tucker play as well he played last night. I've never in my life seen PJ Tucker play as well as he played last night. Tobias Harris is playing better than these niggas. So who the like? How dare you? So it's just a point right now. Where the question I ask is, as we look at the landscape of the NBA, do you think that tanking is worth it? Like, has a tank in the NBA actually worked? Because they were the original tank. They called Embiid the process. That was 10 fucking years ago, and they have not been past the second round. What do you think about the whole process of tanking in the NBA as compared to us, like a Miami Heat, who would have been? They haven't tanked really one outside of once in their franchise history.
Tanking don't work. Tanking doesn't work if you don't have a front office to make it work. And that means you still have to make the right selections. You have to put the right people around the star that you do get eventually. But overall, what we've seen is a team like Philadelphia, who Markelle Fultz, you could have drafted Jason Tatum. Who's the other guy they drafted? Ben Simmons.
And by the way, Ben, you can't get on jokes when you don't even play.
That was so corny. Like, bro, you don't get to laugh at they pain when you part of the reason Brooklyn trash. Yeah. Like,
right? No,
I don't work like that. But when you look at the amount of picks they've had, the amount of players they've given away, even signing Tobias over Jimmy Butler, like they've screwed it.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one: download Rocket Money. Step two: link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's up every step of the way. Like, every way that they can mess up, they messed up. And so, you know, I think it's no coincidence they haven't made it to a conference finals yet. So, for me, I've never been a real big fan of tanking unless it's like the NFL where, like, once you tank, okay, the records are set. That's the pick you get. But anytime it's still just the luck of the draw, no. It's trash.
Yeah, I don't think the NBA work. It works in the NBA, period. Like you said, we've seen it in the NFL work. We've seen it in baseball work, unless you're the Chicago White Sox, but we're not going to get into that again. It don't work. Like, as opposed to the Miami Heat team, they tanked one time, and they tanked for fucking Michael Beasley. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it needs to come to having a smart front office who knows how to – you get a star, you find a way to build around them, whether it's, you know – I think retooling is the more appropriate – word to look, because the Sixers did like shameless tanking, just shameless, and it didn't work out. And I know a lot of, and I'm kind of blaming the player. Like, you, I think both are healthy. You can blame the front office and you can blame the players at the same time, because all this works if Embiid actually plays the way he's fucking supposed to play. Like, if he plays the way he's supposed to play, they're getting ready to host the East Conference Finals against the Miami Heat. Not only are they getting ready to host, they'll have home court throughout the entire NBA. The rest of them, even in the NBA Finals, no matter who came out of that, you know. And then you go out there and you look what Jimmy has done in Miami in the 3 years that he's been there, or 4 years that he's been there. You know, he's on the verge of a second final. He's on the verge of, you know, he's the third of his conference finals. And you chose Tobias Harris over this nigga. Like, it's just stupid shit. That's just, you know, it's bad. And for Philadelphia sports fans, I think I said something like in the fall, like, man, I envy Philadelphia sports fans. They're in the World Series. The team is killing the NFL. No, I don't envy them niggas, because if my team lost the World Series, if my team lost the Super Bowl, if my team with the MVP lost in the second round, I'd be on suicide watch. So I don't know what I would do for that, because it's just epic loss after epic loss to Philadelphia right now. But let's go off to another team that got eliminated this weekend. My dog Steph, the Golden State Warriors, got eliminated. They kind of got blown out too on a Friday to the Los Angeles Lakers. This has been a very up and down season, if you want to call it that. I kind of feel like it's just been mediocre. Like, they never really got back to what they were last year. I think they had pockets of it where they look like they could be competing for the championship. And, you know, with the Warriors, you can never fully count them out because of the experience. You got one of the best players in league history on Steph Curry and team. But in this game series, they were just outmatched, you know. And I think really they could have lost in the first round. I think they really took advantage of the youth of the Kings more than anything. And you've got, and there's not a lot of experience with the Lakers team, but you got guys like LeBron James and Anthony Davis who have won championships before. More LeBron more than anything with the experience he got. They kind of took them, you know, to where they wanted. And the defense was spectacular. Anthony Davis is still hot and cold. Like, and that's something we'll talk about in our Western Conference Final preview. But I feel like I've asked this question 3 or 4 times in the last 4 years. But all the Golden State Warriors done?
Yeah, I think it's going to be some serious retooling. Jordan Poole, he got that contract prematurely. I think that's without goes without saying. I think you restructure Draymond because as much as people don't want to admit it, they need Draymond. The guy who may end up being the odd man out here is Klay Thompson. I think Klay played some really selfish basketball the last few games. He was taking shots that just aren't in his bag anymore. You know,
just ridiculous.
And like it's one of those things where it's like, I understand what you used to do, but at the same time, you're not doing it on a consistent basis anymore. So you need to be, you know, feeding off of what Steph does. So unless you can get Klay to come back, you know, well, even I'm pretty sure he will be there, but you need him to come back in a reduced role, more like a damn near bench player. Like just being honest, calling the spade a spade. But with that, if that's the case, then you got to find somebody else to get in there. But I don't think Jordan Poole is it, but you have to really try to maximize the time you have left with Steph.
Yeah, I won't say they're finished. I'll say this iteration of the Warriors is finished. Like the actual core that won the championships is finished. Because I do feel like their big three of Steph, Klay, and Draymond is not coming back. I think that, like you said, they're going to have to make a decision. I think Klay is going to be the odd man out. I still think just because Klay is I won't say Klay is washed, but he's not going to be the Klay that he used to be. I still think there's trade value for Klay. I still think he can get a decent amount for Klay Thompson, even considering the bad series that he had. And Draymond is just the heart and soul of this team. Like, you know, I think that you find a way to make it work with Draymond. And you're right. They paid Jordan Poole way too early. I think Jordan Poole, more than anything, is his basketball IQ and the shot selection. You know, when Jordan's on, he's on. When he's not, he's not. And you're not going to be able to move that contract right now. So I think Jordan Poole stays. Andrew Wiggins has been good. I think, you know, with him taking all that time, and, you know, I'm not going to say what happened. I did find out what happened, but I'm not going to be chatty patty and say what happened. But for him to bounce back after not playing for 2 months, and, you know, play as well as he did, you keep Andrew Wiggins. And Steph is, you know, even Steph's 35, I believe Steph's playing the best basketball of his career. And this is even better than he played in his MVP years, in my opinion. Like, Steph is at his – it's kind of like – and I'm not comparing to, obviously. I'm not comparing Steph Curry to Michael Jordan, so anybody listening, this relax. Michael Jordan in 98 years, for me, was Mike's most impressive year of his career because the basketball mind was on another level. You know what I'm saying? Like, his skill set – he didn't have the athleticism. He wasn't quote unquote as good as he was before, but he was so good at the game that it made up for everything. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of feel the same way about LeBron, even though I feel like LeBron isn't playing as well right now because I feel like his foot is cooked and he's just waiting until the offseason starts to have surgery. Steph has more of his basketball IQ at the highest level right now. He's more of a point guard than ever in his career right now. And he's a shooter. When you're a shooter, you can play a long time. So you still got Steph, and in this West Conference, you can build around Steph. So I do think that the Iron is going to be Klay, and they're going to rebuild around that. You still got one of the all-time coaches in Steve Kerr. And I think it's about time, and people let go of the for me, the always dumb. He won the championship with Mark Jackson's team. This is not a Tony Dungy, John Gruden situation. I mean, Mark Jackson didn't even play Draymond Green. So I don't even like doing that comparison. I think it's time that you give Steve Kerr the credit as one of the greatest coaches of all time. This is the first time he's lost a Western Conference series in his damn near 10-year career with the fucking Warriors. So I do think that this core that has won championships is done, but I think there's going to be a Warriors 2.0, and I think they're going to mold the San Antonio Spurs way of being able to go to the next level. And as long as you have a great general manager and Bob Myers and ownership who doesn't give a fuck about spending money, that's the second highest payroll of all time. I think they'll be fine as far as competing for championships. But the Warriors, as we know, I think they're done.
Yeah, and Bob Myers is leaving.
Oh, he's leaving?
Yeah, he wants a new role. So don't be surprised if by the end of this offseason, he's not there no more.
Well, he has been doing podcasts. I just realized.
Yeah, he wants a promotion.
I mean, I think that, I mean, I would think that, I wouldn't take it past the realm possibility that Goober and Lakeup would pay him to do that. But, you know, yeah. I'll say this about this. As fans of teams with not good front offices, they've got owners that I feel like even if Bob Myers didn't move on, I think they'll find a suitable replacement. They have the track record, you know what I'm saying, that makes you think they'll make the right move. So, but yeah, shout out to us for that win. We'll get into that in a minute. But let's start with the Eastern Conference Finals. I want to talk about I feel like Miami Heat, man. I feel like when we talk about all-time franchise, especially over the last 15, 16 years, the Heat are a low-key iconic franchise. Since Pat Riley, the godfather, Patrick Riley, has come to Miami, and this is longer than 15 years, this is their 10th Eastern Conference final. They have won 3 NBA championships. They have been in 5 NBA finals in those 3 championships. And they have just continuously pumped out success. There's been consistency. Like, if you go over that, if you go over since the new millennium started in 2000, if you talk about top 4 most successful franchises, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. It's the San Antonio Spurs, it's the Golden State Warriors, and it's the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are what the NBA wants you to think the Boston Celtics are currently. The Boston Celtics have won 1 NBA championship in the last, 30 years? Since I've been on this earth, the Boston Celtics have won 1 championship. You know what I'm saying? They have won 1. So, to me, we got to start giving the Miami Heat more love. I know that they came in. This is probably the weakest Miami Heat team from the last couple of years. But the run they've gone – and go out there, and they gave Jimmy Butler all that money. A lot of people they paid him too much. Jimmy Butler's a superstar. I don't really think there's any more discussion about that anymore. If you know, I do take a victory lap for it because I remember those days in Bulls Twitter towards the end of Derrick Rose's tenure, where I was like, "Now I didn't think Jimmy was gonna be this. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think Jimmy was gonna be this good, but I did think we could build around him. I think that the Heat are." This is not new. This is the standard that they've built. There is actually a Heat culture.
Yeah. It's the embodiment of everything we talked about. You know, the front offices are what, as much as people hated when Jerry Krause said it, but the front offices are what make the team go. And when you have one in place like Pat Riley and Mickey Arison in Miami, they're going to consistently be good. I think this is just going to be the norm. That's when we talk about Heat culture. That's really what it is. It's a culture. It's something that they've built over the years that, you know, has withstood the test of time. So
I think
you really got to tip your cap to them, like 100%, because, I mean, that takes a lot to not fold. And you see how many teams, you know, we've called sports several times all the major sports are copycat leagues. Like, they one team being successful,
we try to be on Bill.
But the Heat have said, you know, no, we're going to do things the Miami Heat way, Heat culture, and that's what they've done, and they've been extremely successful with it.
Yeah, man, that definitely so. And as we get into the conference finals start tomorrow, with game 1, Nuggets and Lakers. The bubble conversation has come back up because we have 4 teams. Who were in the college finals and bubble, in the college finals now. We have y'all said the bubble was fake. So before I take the floor on this, because I have a lot to say about the situation, let me give it to my esteemed co-host here. What do you think about all this bullshit we've been seeing on social media the last, 48 hours, whatever?
I mean, people are dumb. Like, this is just called stupid. All 40s rosters have completely turned over. Like, I think the one with the most people is the Nuggets, and they have 4 people from the bubble that are still on their team. So this idea that this is vindication for that, no, this is what we just said. The teams with the best front offices, a cohesive unit at the top, they usually win. And, you know, these teams have been able to plug and play, bring in new guys. And, you know, with the Lakers, you got Bron and AD. So you straight there. The Celtics have 2 really good wing players and great defensive players around them, so they're going to always compete. So they just managed to maintain that formula. And then with Miami, it's the heat culture. Like you said, you bring in Jimmy, you know what I'm saying? You just keep it moving. So I'm not really, like, it's been kind of interesting to see how many people have been going hard about this, because it's like, it makes absolutely no sense. Like, there's no logic to this.
It's the thing, man. I got a lot to say about it. First of all, I'm not saying that the Lakers championship doesn't count. I'm not saying that the Los Angeles Dodgers championship don't count. I'm not saying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers championship don't count, or the Tampa Bay Lightning championship don't count. For anybody who's at home who's slow, those are the four champions from the 2020 season of the pandemic year. Now, unless I'm in a troll mode arguing with somebody, a LeBron fan more now, I'm like, well, that ring don't count. Or I like my favorite thing to say, 3.5 rings. Everybody played in it. So, yes, it's a legitimate championship. But call it what you like. There's going to be a little note there. I don't care if you want to call it an asterisk. I don't care if you want to call it a footnote. This was not a regular season. This was nothing out of the players' control. I think the league did the best thing they could possibly do. Now, they had that little remember the thing with the Milwaukee Bucks said, we're not gonna play until we get justice. And then union breaker Bronny came over here like, well, you know, we can show more about playing. Nigga, cut the shit. All right, like, you don't give a fuck. You just want to get your ring, which I respect. Just keep it G. Like, so this is the thing I'm saying about it. Like you just said, the rosters are not the same. There are 14 players total between these four teams that are still on that thing. And everybody's like, oh, it's the purest form of basketball. There's no distractions. But that's the point of playoff basketball. There are distractions. We've seen players crumble under those distractions. I remember the mailman don't deliver on Sundays. The crowd in Chicago being loud as Karl Malone misses the game-winning free throws. You know how tough these game-winning shots are when you're an opposing crowd and you got to hit it to shut these motherfuckers up? LeBron telling Gilbert Arenas, you don't want to miss this one. Oh, that's part of the distraction. That plays part of it. You had niggas like TJ Warren, who was looking like Dwayne Wade. You know what I'm saying? Let's take this, the Western Conference Finals, for example. The Lakers would have had the home court advantage in that series. After Anthony Davis's game winning shot in game two, though, they were done. In an actual playoff series, the series would have shifted to Denver. It's a different situation. Playing their home crowd, the altitude is different. It's a different thing. You don't know how that series is going. So I'm not saying that you take anything away from these champions, but it's different. So let's just cut the shit and let's be 100% real about this as we close this. If Warriors would have won this series, we wouldn't be talking about the goddamn bubble. You wouldn't be saying, oh, three of the four teams from the bubble, man, you're only saying it because the Lakers. Let's just be 100% real about this right now. That's the only reason you're saying it. It's not the same. I question people's basketball knowledge who think it's the same, because it's not. These teams are different. Situations are different. Look at the thing. Now, I'm going to go to football real quick. That NFC Championship game, y'all know I love Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the only white man on this earth that I love outside of Kevin Feige. Imagine that NFC Championship game in Lambeau Field. We know how Lambeau Field is in the playoffs. It's been a different situation. Now, I'm not saying the Packers win, but it's a different situation. That loud racist crowd, and it's different, bro. There was like 10,000 people at the Super Bowl. You can't tell me it's the same thing. I just want people to use their heads, man. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. Salute to these teams for being here. But like, these are all good front offices. That's more to do with front offices, more than bubbles. So that's what I'm gonna say about that. But let's I know Dante's gotta get out of here. We're gonna quickly go over these two conference finals. Let's start with the first finals that will kick off tomorrow. Lakers and Nuggets, man. Nuggets will have home court. What's your feeling on this?
Man, it's as much as I want to, you know, say that the Nuggets, because I mean, the Nuggets are the better team, you know. Joker has been playing out of his mind. He's finally got his top two guys back with him. AD ain't Aiden, bro. That's how I feel. I feel like it's, although the Joker will still get his, he's gonna have to work a lot harder, and that means his role players are gonna have to step up. And as much as we try to clown him, as inconsistent as he has been, when you look at the combination of AD and Bron and what they're able to do together, I do think Bron's foot is a problem. I gotta go Lakers in seven. I still don't, even though the Nuggets have, you know, theoretically checked every box you want from a team that's right on that precipice of a championship. They've had their struggles. They've had their game seven heartbreaks. They've gotten their ass kicked, all of that. They play without, you know, players two and three. But I think at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the team with the championship pedigree in the Lakers.
I think anybody can win this series. I think it's anybody's series. The reason I'm picking the Denver Nuggets to win this series, not just win this series. I got the Denver Nuggets winning the whole fucking championship, which I said, after game two of the Phoenix series. And I think even when we did our playoff previews, me, you, and Pat, and I said, I really want to pick Denver. I really want to pick Denver. I had my homie Waz was on. I'm not going to hold you, like 2 weeks ago, and he was saying the same thing. I just feel like this is Denver time. And yes, you're right. Anthony Davis is not DeAndre Ayton. But at the same time, Nikola Jokic is not Kevon Looney. Nikola Jokic is not Xavier Tillman, because AD didn't even have to go against Steven Adams and Brandon Clark in the first round. AD has been great this offseason. When he gives it, I want to keep saying this, because he still had some games where we were like, what the fuck is this nigga doing in both rounds against much smaller teams? And I think the thing that kind of irritates me more than anything when it comes to Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic conversation, is anybody asking AD just be shut this nigga down? You don't. He still gets his. Not only does he get his is different because he gets everybody else involved. And even the thing, like, look at the bubble thing. I think people forget about that series. It wasn't just Anthony Davis starting Nikola Jokic. It was JaVale McGee. Dwight Howard did a damn good job on Nikola Jokic. So they had a rotation of bigs to be able to guard Jokic. They don't have the same thing here. And Anthony Davis can get in foul trouble fucking with this nigga. Now, we all know Jokic is not a defender. Jokic is not a defender whatsoever. He is terrible at the rim. And if Anthony Davis is focused, and we're going to be saying this shit till the end of time, if Anthony Davis is focused, he can have monster games on this nigga. But this is a bad team. LeBron was great in game six. Are you expecting LeBron to play like he played in game six for an entire series with his foot? I just don't think it's an option with his foot right now. This ain't got nothing to do with him being old. I mean, it's part of it. I just think that foot is good. I don't think his foot that's going to happen. You've got guards who can defend. You got KCP, who is now on Denver's side. KCP was big in that West Conference Finals in the bubble for the Lakers. Now he's on the Denver side. He's been having a good postseason. Brett Brown's been having a good season. Aaron Gordon has just been great defensively for this team. And this is the first time the Lakers are playing a really good defensive team at the same time. The Warriors' defense has been bad all season. We've been talking about that. The Grizzlies' defense wasn't the same. Obviously, it didn't have the two of their best defenders and Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. So it's going to be a different situation here. Both of these teams are extremely great at home. In fact, both of them are undefeated at the crib. But I just think it's a deeper team. I think it's a better coach team. And I think even if Jokic doesn't have a 30 and 25 night, he can have enough to where the rest of his team is eating. He still gets his. Jamal Murray has been incredible. The X factor in this series, somebody who did not play in the bubble, Michael Porter Jr. If Michael Porter Jr. is hitting shots, this takes to a whole nother level. The Lakers need Austin Reeves and the rest of those bench players to play great. I would not shock me if this goes seven. Would not shock me whatsoever. And it wouldn't even shock me if the Lakers win. But I'm going to take the Denver Lakers in six. I just think this is their time. I think they're a better team. And I just don't know. I want to see the Lakers and when adversity hits. They've kind of had a smooth ride. You know, both series went six. They were up 3-1 in both series. So I want to know what it's going to be like when adversity hits. But I will say this. I feel the Nuggets need to win both the first two games. With as great as the Lakers are at home, I don't think they want to drop me in those first two games. So that's what I'll say about that. Let's move on to the East as we wrap this up. Final topic of the day, East Conference Finals kicks off Wednesday in Boston. Third time that the Celtics and the Heat are meeting up in the East Conference Finals. What you thinking about this series?
I just going to be a very good series, very defensive-minded series. There's going to be a lot of 96 to 88 games, you know, at least three of those. But I think more than anything, it all depends on the health of Jimmy Butler and that ankle. So I'm gonna go because I just don't believe in anything about the Celtics. So I'm gonna go Heat and six. I'm going Heat and six.
I feel like I've been picking against the Heat every round, which is crazy because Jimmy Butler's my guy. But I just think eventually the Heat are gonna stop shooting at the 2016 Warriors. Like, I think eventually that shooting's gonna come down to reality. The biggest thing with the Celtics is consistency. The Celtics do the same shit the Warriors do. They play with their fucking food. Like, we're just going on paper, and if they played the way they need to be fucking playing, they should win the NBA championship. Especially with no Sixers, no Bucks. They have no excuse to not make the NBA finals. I'm going to say Celtics and seven. I really want to say Celtics and six, but I'm going to say Celtics and seven because I just don't trust them to have a killer instinct. But I think the biggest thing here, the Celtics offense has always been smelly, even last year, but the defense, they were just on another level defensively. I don't know why the fuck Joe Mazzulla decided until two games, but hey, maybe I should start Robert Williams. But defense has been much better since they've done that. I think they're going to do that. I think that they're going to be able to shut down the others of the Heat. And I think Bam's going to have a tough series because we just saw Al Horford. Al Horford did a damn good job on MVP. I think he can do the same thing with Bam Adebayo, with him and Robert Williams switching off. And I think that the Celtics, I think they're just a better team. And I think the Heat have been on a great run. Like I said, I have there's nothing about this Heat run that's been predictable. In fact, I think this entire playoffs, I think this is the most wrong that we've probably been in our predictions since we've done in the show. Not just us. I think sports media in general. It's just not an NBA playoffs that you can actually pick. I might be wrong, but I'm gonna take Celtics and six. I think they got enough. And as much as I want the Denver Nuggets to beat the Lakers, I'm rooting for them to beat the Lakers. But I'm not gonna lie, folks. I kind of need Lakers Celtics in my life. I kind of need that in my life. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, for the greater good of basketball, it can never be bad when the Lakers play the Celtics. So I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I know a lot of people hate it, but I wouldn't have any issue with it. So, but I don't think we're going to get Lakers Heat. A different story, which has some unique storylines, because I don't think Pat Riley's ever played the Lakers in the finals, has he?
In the bubble, and that just goes back to what we were saying about.
Well, but just him being able to go back to Staples, you know, going back to LA, you know.
People don't bring about the bubble either.
What?
There's one thing people don't bring about the bubble either. Bam missed two games in that finals.
They did.
Goran Dragic got severely hurt and missed like a game or two in that finals. Nobody brings that up.
The Heat team was crumbled. Jimmy was on fumes.
Nobody brings it up. I think Lakers Heat would be a great story too. I think Celtics Nuggets would be an entertaining series, but that's not getting in words of Cameron. That's not getting the computer shooting. Lakers Heat or Lakers Celtics. Really anything involving the Nuggets is not the sexy pick.
It's gonna be nasty.
Let's just be 100% real about this, man. So I think the NBA is not rooting for the Nuggets to win, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think it's going to be a parade in Mile High. I think Denver fans, you need to embrace it because the Rockies and the Broncos ain't winning no time zone. So embrace this thing, man. So I'm looking forward to these conference finals. And really, I have no really emotional attachment anymore now that my man Steph is gone. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm team don't let LeBron win. This really would come down right now. I'm not going to I can be a media person for 51 minutes, but for this last minute, I'm going to be back to the hater that I am with him. I hope he loses. I'm just going to be real. That's why I said I won't sell this Lakers, because you know how much sweeter it'll be. The Lakers fans been talking a lot of shit, and rightfully so, because I feel like Lakers fans have been a butt of jokes for the last 3 years. But they've been talking a lot of shit. LeBron fans been a lot louder. My mentions was pretty loud this weekend. But it will be just sweet if LeBron gets to the finals again. Loses for the seventh time and then loses to the Lakers' most hated rival. That would be chef's fucking kiss. So that's all I got for y'all today. That's all we got for y'all today. Dante's got to get out of here. Where y'all going to eat after the graduation? I think that's the number one black question.
Literally no clue. I just asked my mom that like 10 minutes ago. We're trying to figure it out now. So with this joint being so late in the afternoon, we're going to have to make some shake. We're going to figure it out.
We know black people in Chicago, after graduations, we go to one of three places if we don't have a house gathering. We go to either Giordano's, and that's one of the few times Chicago niggas order deep dish.
A deep dish pizza,
niggas will go to what's that restaurant downtown?
Grand Lux.
Grand Lux, the fancy Grand Lux. Or my personal favorite, they go to Matson and go to Cracker Barrel, nigga. Those are three places that Chicago families usually go after graduations.
Yeah. So no, I think
congrats to your brother though.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Congrats to your brother. We appreciate everybody for listening. This will be dropping today since it's early in the fucking day. So you know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershed Scott at October's on Tay. Follow the Barbershed Network at Barbershed Net. Subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershed Network. We got a lot of content dropping on the Patreon this week, so look out for that. Visit the bcnet.com. And we'll be back next week. We'll be breaking down the first four games of conference finals, man. So we almost at the end of this thing, man. So we'll holler at y'all. Y'all have a good day. We out.